to number 11268 Road 2.
Mr. Joseph Clements, Reel 2. Now, how did the Deal Battalion come to be formed? I believe that...
In the beginning, we were told, it came out that there was from the 76th Squad and to the 82nd, inclusive, were going to form a battalion, which they did do, and they were known as the Deal Battalion, and they were sent to Antwerp early on. And later on, did you want to go later on?
Yeah.
We, from the 83rd to, I forget now the number of the next squad, we formed another battalion. But we was also a Deal Battalion. And it was, that I can tell you a bit more on that, because we all formed up into this battalion on parade one day, and we were asked, any volunteers for a machine gun? See? So, I... I done one of the things that a soldier shouldn't do, volunteer for anything, he shouldn't do that. But I stepped forward. I wanted to be a machine gunner. And others there, about a dozen of them, they picked us out. And we eventually, this is going to be a long story, I suppose.
All right, carry on.
Eventually we went to, got sent down to Portsmouth to go through a machine gun course at Browndown Rangers. Under a Captain Lethbury, who was he was the OC machine guns for the Marine Corps, I think, Captain Lethbury. And so we joined up with some others down there, and we used to go, went through all the machine gun.
What was the training like? Can you run through it for us?
Well, first of all, you had to know every part of a machine gun.
Which machine gun? The Vickers?
No, Maxim. And water cooled. You like to carry water to cool the barrel. The barrel is encased in a copper casing, I think. They cool water in there to keep the barrel cool. And they used to drum it into you. If you run out of no water in your water bottle, where there's man, there's always water. So you had choose what you like from that to use. It was a bit difficult job because we had to get a stripper. They used to strip the machine gun right down, and you had to put it together again. And luckily, I seemed to cotton onto that quite quickly. You know, things seemed to go into place for me, and so I was quite pleased with that. And I could do it very well. And also, you had a tripod. You had to be able to throw this tripod out, one clamp one way, one clamp the other, to keep the three legs firm. Put your tripod in, and they had to be level on the ground, because otherwise you'd tilt the gun. And get your gun on there and pinned in, and lay on a target that was given you. You know, I could do it quite well, really. You had a number... I keep wandering around, don't I?
It's all right.
You had a squad of... or a team on a gun. There were six in there. The number one was the number one.
He
was responsible for the gun itself and the firing of it. He'd always do the firing. Well, number two was equally efficient, I suppose, but he was not quite... Well, I don't say he wasn't as good, he was, because he had to be able to fire the gun as well and know all about it. Number three looked after all the spare parts.
So what did the number two do, if you see what I mean?
Well,
or was it just spare?
If you were going to... You took the gun with you... I'd carried the gun.
You were a number one.
I was number one. Number two carried the tripod. See? Number three, all the spare parts. And then four, five and six, as the case may be, the ammunition. And they had to load the they had to fill the belts.
Would someone carry water, spare water?
No, well, I can't remember that. There was, you know, there was always air plenty when we were down there.
Okay. So now, you were pretty good at it, so you got to be a number one.
Yeah.
But what about actual firing of the Maxim? What was it like to fire?
Very difficult at first.
Why?
Well, you relied on a little wheel under the gun affixed to the tripod. The little turn one way and it'd elevate the gun. One the other way to depress it. And the little tap had to kind of just loosen the one of the, I don't know what they were now. I forget them. Had a little tap one way or the other on the handle, or just to push the nozzle the other way a little bit.
Sideways.
Over there. That way, yes.
To the left or right.
That's right. And then you had to hold it, get it steady. And the only way you could get it steady was, you were sitting on the seat, on the tripod, on the rear leg. You got your elbows inside of each tie like that. Those two fingers lifted the safety catch, and your two thumbs pressed two firing triggers. And you had to keep that right steady to keep on the target. And then if you wanted to move, see, you took one hand away and give it a little tap that way and go again. But that had to be, you had to be very firm to hold it, because the vibration of the firing would soon throw it off its target.
And that was difficult to get at first?
In the beginning, yes, but then it all come into place, like, you know.
It was a knack then?
Yeah, it seemed to be, yes.
What about, what was the gun like to fire? Was it accurate?
Very accurate, yes.
And did you practice on the ranges? Or
On the Brandon ranges we did. And of course, mixed up with all that, you got stoppages. It all comes in the firing part. You can get a bent cartridge, jammed it, you see. So the fire, you had to clear it. You had to know how to do it. By looking on a little handle on the side that you had, you could tell what position the gun was stopped at and the treatment for it. There was four stoppages, 1, 2, 3, and 4. One, if it was, may mean just something rather a little wrong, and you knocked that handle down and pulled your belt, and that eased it, and that cleared it. See, number two might be a bent cartridge or an empty cartridge got in there. I forget now, money.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure about them now. Number three might have been something rather with the, because as they go through a casing, the belt goes through. It's something matter wrong with one of the lugs that pull the belt through, and I forget what number four might be. Then on top of that, you might get a split barrel.
The actual barrels.
The barrel inside of the big barrel, because of the heat. See, perhaps you hadn't filled it up with water, hadn't got any water in. It got red hot when you're firing a number. And
would you have a spare barrel with you?
Oh, yes, you'd have a spare barrel with you, yes. That's the number three's job, look after them.
How did you practice aiming? I mean, what targets would you practice on the ranges?
The ordinary targets you get on the range.
Like a rifle
fire. Yes, with the bullseye and magpies and inners and that.
Did they practice with sort of indirect firing or barrage firing at that stage? Was it a bit early for that sort of thing?
Yes, you had to firing on an ordinary target in the beginning, single shot firing. You could do that by taking every alternate bullet out of the belt, and you get individual firing that way. But when you got on a full belt, when you had to be able to pass out on that, do it confidently.
Single shot, yeah.
And then you went on the continuous firing, the full belt, and then on another type of, it was all an oblong, quite a big oblong piece of target, khaki colour, more or less the same as the background of the sand in the bank there at the back. And you had what they called traversing then, and you had to start in this corner, we say, and go up there like that, about eight shots. See, by doing that, you'd a little turn on the wheel, a tap on the wheel, and fire. See, and you get one going up into there. Then you had to come down and across here like that, across this target. That was very difficult because it only wants a little extra tap that you didn't want to give it, and then you're over the top of the target. And that's where I think I passed out there, because I got 48 hits out of 50 shots in that, and I suppose that went towards them choosing me as number one.
Now, what was Lathbury, the Captain Lathbury, and his instructors? Were they good instructors?
He was the captain in charge of all the machine guns in the corps. Although we only had four guns in the battalion.
What were they like as instructors? His instructors.
Oh, they were very good, very patient, I should say. Looking back, because they're starting off with proper green stuff like myself and others. And they were very, very thorough.
So how long was this course for? That was at Browndown Range.
Browndown Ranges.
Portsmouth area.
Well,
where were you staying?
In the huts up on the range.
Actually on the range?
Yes.
And how long was that course for? About?
About a month, a good month to 6 weeks, I should say.
Now, when you went back to rejoin the battalion at Deal, did you?
Yes.
And which company were you in? Do you remember?
No, I can't.
Do you remember any of your officers? Or what we had
to get
on?
Yes, I can remember one. I don't know his name now. He's only a young sub-lieutenant. He's only about 19 years, well, there's two or three, quite a few like that age. But, he was so green. We were out on night manoeuvres, went out on night manoeuvres there once. And I'm forgetting now what we were doing. But at any rate, I was like a few more. I used to smoke in that those days. And we couldn't smoke, not out on these manoeuvres, you see. But I went up to this young officer and I said to him, "Excuse me, sir, can I have a cigarette?" And he said, "Oh, no, thank you." He said, "I don't smoke." No, I said, "Can I smoke?" "Oh, yes, all right." He said, "Keep it, don't you know." How green he was, really. How green I was as well. Asking permission to smoke when you've been told you can't. And
what were they like for the most part, the officers? Did you like them?
Yeah, we didn't have a lot to do with them. Because they were all the same as ourselves. They were just starting on the job, you see.
What about your NCOs and your instructors? What were they like?
I thought they were very good. They knew their job, as I thought.
And their attitude was all right to you?
It seemed to be, yes. As far as I can remember, if you'd done wrong, they very soon told you about it and put you, if you can't do it right, well, go down somewhere other in the evening and do a bit of extra drill.
Did you have any problems with, run-ins with any NCOs?
No,
at this time, not later.
A couple of chaps and myself, we were supposed to be going to school that afternoon, and we didn't. We went down to the rifle range, the 2-2 rifle range, do a bit of shooting on our own. We had to pay for that, mind you, a few coppers, like. And, of course, it got found out, weren't at school. And we may have been 7 days CB, confined to barracks.
What did that involve?
Well, you weren't allowed out.
Anything
you had to you had to report to the guard room every so often. And then another time I forget now what it was for. Nothing serious, but an hour's extra gyms in the one evening. They put you through it there, all right. You slept well that night. You've been tired. For some little...
So you didn't have any major problems with the discipline?
No, I didn't, no.
What about your other new recruits? How did you get on with them? Were they from the same sort of background as yourself?
Yes. We were pretty well all the same.
Were there any old regulars, I mean reservists, there?
Not in our squad, you see. We kept the squad,
you were all
to the
newcomers.
Squad, yes. You'd meet the older ones there, and they'd tell you what you were doing and what you shouldn't do and put you right. They were all quite good and helpful, I should say.
But amongst you new recruits, you got on well with them, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Did you make any special friends at that time?
Well, yes, I did, and that comes later on, really. One of them.
Okay, but we'll leave that till then. Did they use the naval traditions and language of the Royal Naval Division? I mean, was it called going ashore and things like
that?
Oh,
yeah, most of that.
What did you think of that?
Well, it's like, when you got used to it, you never thought no more about it. You just said it and that was it.
What about the lack of privacy? Did that bother you at all?
No. I think it may have done, for the first week. I was like the rest of them then. We were all the same and we just got on with what we had to do and how we had to do it and that was it.
Do you remember what a typical day's routine was like at Deal?
Typical day?
Yeah. What from when you woke up? Just sketch it out
if
you can.
Well, you got reveille. That sounded out. You could hear that 6 o'clock in the bugler in the drill hall. You might have been told off for some fatigue in the morning. That was like going over to help clean the sergeant's mess out or down the canteen and sweep up around there and things like that. Or go around somewhere and pick up all spare paper, bits of paper. And then you had to get back, washed, clean up, ready for your first parade, which would be after you've had your breakfast. You finish that fatigue, then come back and have your breakfast quickly. You'd be washed and shaved and changed and with your rifle all clean. Well, you've done that overnight. And be on parade perhaps at 8 o'clock in the morning, you see, for whatever it was. It might be foot drill, it might be arms drill and all that. And you carried on. You had a break mid-morning. You'd go down the canteen for a cup of tea and a wad. And then again in the afternoon, sometimes we had a, not so much there, I think it was a run in the afternoon. It might take you around the square somewhere, and after a while, the first half home, they could be dismissed, as in they gradually whittled it down like that. And then, of course, in the evenings, you could go down to the NAFI, canteen place we had.
Who ran the canteen at the time? Because the NAFI hadn't been formed.
No, it was. I know there were old soldiers down there, some of them.
What would they provide in the canteen?
Oh, yeah, you get tea and that, tea and cakes and mineral waters.
No beer then?
There was a wet canteen, as it was called, but I never went in there. I didn't drink those days.
What else would they have in the dry canteen?
That was mainly for refreshment, but they had a little a shop in the house where you could buy blanco, blacking, little things you wanted, button polish and all that business, soap. They had that and toothpaste and that, and you could buy that in the little shop they had.
What about after that? Was your time your own after tea? In the canteen?
Yes, unless you'd been doing something wrong during the day and you had an hour's drill to do or something like that.
Extra what would you drill. Do with your own time? What sort of recreations?
Well, that was mostly go down. They had a couple of billiard tables down there. You could sit and watch there. We had some very good billiard players among the older stuff. Yeah,
but
and watch
you wouldn't
them.
Play yourself so much?
Well, you never got much of a chance, really. And I hadn't played billiards then. But there was always there a chance for you. You'd usually sit around and chat with somebody, go through the day's work with them again.
Was there any sport organised for you? Or boxing or anything?
Not at that time. Oh, sorry.
Were you allowed out into the town?
After so long, I forget now how long it was, before, as long as we could walk properly and dress properly, and you had to be clean and all that before they laid you out.
What would you do when you went into the town?
Well, what does anybody do? Go looking for girls, I suppose.
And, did you drink at that time?
No. No, and it was just a matter of a walk round, really, just to see one or two different sights.
How did you get on with the local civilians?
Well, I think we'd never really had anything to do with them. Of course, it's a kind of a garrison town deal, and they've had Marines there since the year dot, I suppose.
So was there a stat? So they didn't really talk to you then, or what do you mean?
When you were I suppose it was our fault as much as it, because we had nothing to talk about. Not we could interest them. We didn't know anything at all about them. And it was a matter of two or three of you going together, and we're just walking round, looking in the shops. And
there was no trouble with the local youths or anything?
Not in my time. Well, not that I remember at all.
Now, in about January, you had a long march to Maidstone. Is that right?
That's when we left Deal to join up with the rest of them down in Blandford, Dorset.
So that was when you went to join the rest of the Royal Naval Division?
Yes.
Do you remember much about the march to Maidstone? It's quite a march.
It is. I know that it had all been arranged before. They had an officer went on beforehand picking out places for us to sleep at night. When we got to this, we took a ration with us, had during the day. We got that issue. Then they supplied us, the people we were stopping with, we allocated some, perhaps it might be a crowd, allocated to a hall. They'd be in the hall, and sleeping accommodation and food. Others in private houses, two or three in various private houses. When we got there, they had to supply us with a meal, sleeping accommodation, and then we had breakfast in the morning. Then they had to give us enough for the midday meal for the following day. And that went on for 3 days. I know one evening, I forget the name of the place, myself and about three others, we got into this house, and either him or his wife or daughters worked in a laundry, just close handy. And they were very good to us. They took us, besides giving us a meal, he brought us all a packet of cigarettes each, which was very, very good of him, I thought. And we had a nice little chat with they took us down to the laundry, just a quick look round. Quite something, although more often than not, we were all ready to get to bed the morning and the hour after marching all day.
I was going to ask you, it's quite a tough march.
It was.
Were you carrying a lot of load, or did you have some carts with you?
No, we carried everything you owned, you carried.
Did you find the march hard yourself?
I did, in the beginning, but it seemed to get to... that was what all his previous training was leading up to as well, you see.
Any trouble with your feet?
No. I personally, I didn't, but a lot did. You get the army boots are on. They're good boots, mind you, and they're very good and comfortable mostly. But you're getting used to them and broken in because it's a stiff leather, and you were told beforehand about your feet. We'd had it rubbed into us a lot. Then you got a lot from the older soldiers. Rub soap on your socks and all that business, and the ease is there.
Did you do all that?
Oh, yes. And had to have clean socks here. No good, dirty socks are no good. We had three pairs of socks anyway, so we had to... If we took one off, we had to wash it straight away.
So you didn't have any trouble then?
Personally, no. I can't remember any trouble with my feet. I can't say that... in later years, the bane of my life used to be.
So you got to Maidstone.
Yes.
And then what happened then?
We got in on the train, and we next stop was down at
Blandford.
Blandford, down in Dorset.
Now, what was the situation when you arrived? This was about January 1915.
Yes, somewhere about there, must be.
And did the camp look like when you arrived? What state was it in?
You know, I can't really remember whether it was... I think it was huts, mostly, but I think there must be some canvas here as well. And, what can you say? It was an army hut or canvas bedding place.
What were you doing while you were there?
Always used to go on these marches up the hills and down the hills and carry this with you and carry something else with you, just to tough you up, you see.
Did you do any actual exercises with other units of the division? Did you do any exercises with other units of the division, other battalions?
No, each battalion seemed to be working on its own.
So there were no big exercises?
But I think they all done pretty well the same thing, but not together. You were, your battalion, you formed up and away you went, and you came back, and they'd done the same.
Now, by now, you must have been realising that you were going to be infantry, not sailors. When did you first realise that?
Oh, well, I'd been told that it was here beforehand. I see what you mean.
That you were going to be Marines. We were going to be on land. You were going to be on land.
Yes.
When did you first realise?
I think when we formed the battalion. Because otherwise, the people who were in the barracks at that particular time, they'd told off so many for a ship at such and such a time. They were going to join the ship at such and such a time.
Did you mind ending up as a soldier?
No, I'm quite happy with everybody around me. It didn't seem to matter at all, as long as I was with them.